Gwan, the Hound of Valinor, is one of the most beloved characters in the Silmarillion and the First Age more broadly. But what exactly was he, other than the goodest boy in Middle-earth? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. Tolkien famously loved nature. Eagles, horses and even trees play a huge role in his stories. Dogs, less so, but there is one extremely honourable mention, Huan, the Hound of Valinor. We first read about Huan in the Silmarillion belonging to Celegorm, one of the sons of Feanor, though it appears that Huan wasn't originally Celegorm's or originally from Middle-earth. We read this by way of introduction. The chief of the wolfhounds that followed Celegorm was named Huan. He was not born in Middle-earth, but came from the Blessed Realm, for Orome had given him to Celegorm long ago in Valinor, and there he had followed the horn of his master before evil came. Huan followed Celegorm into exile and was faithful. So, some context here. Orome is one of the Valar, particularly associated with hunting. During the long years of the trees, the elves in Valinor had often lived and worked closely with the Valar, and one of the closest of these relationships seems to have been between Orome and Celegorm. Orome taught Celegorm much, even including how to speak the languages of some animals. The two went hunting together regularly, and Orome gave Celegorm Huan, the mighty wolfhound, a hunting dog, in other words. But then tragedy struck. Morgoth and Ungoliant destroyed the two trees of Valinor. Morgoth stole the Silmarils, and Feanor swore vengeance. He would not stop ever until he had those Silmarils back. And crucially, he made his seven sons swear the same binding oath. They and many of the Noldor elves set sail for Middle-earth on that quest. Celegorm was one of those seven sons. And as we'll see, bound by that oath, he did terrible things. But what we're concerned about is Huan, who we're told went with him, remaining faithful. The faithfulness of Huan and its limits is at the core of this story. Not that Huan was a normal dog. We read that he too came under the doom of woe set upon the Noldor, and it was decreed that he should meet death, but not until he encountered the mightiest wolf that would ever walk the world. Nothing could escape the sight and scent of Huan, nor could any enchantment stay him, and he slept not, neither by night nor day. So the implication here is Huan was by nature immortal. We'll come back later to exactly what manner of being that makes him in Tolkien's Legendarium, but his other attributes were also impressive. The size of a small horse, needing no sleep or rest, astonishing senses of sight and smell, impervious to enchantments, and perhaps most impressive of all, we read that he comprehended the speech of all things with voice, but it was permitted to him thrice only ere his death to speak with words. So he was intelligent and even spoke three times in his life. As I said, not just a normal dog. How he was like other dogs was in his loyalty, though even that had its limits because he was good and caring. We first meet him partway into the story of Beren and Luthien. And again, a little background here is needed. Beren, the man, and Luthien, the elf, well, half-elf, half-Maia, fell in love, and Beren went to her father to ask for her hand in marriage. He, rather mockingly, granted permission as long as Beren could bring him one of the Silmarils. A high price, not just because the Silmarils were astonishingly crafted artifacts, but also because they were currently all set into Morgoth's crown in the depths of Angband, his fortress. The elves had been besieging that for a few hundred years by that point, to no avail. Everyone laughed, but Beren accepted and headed off with his friend Finrod. They didn't get far, though, and were captured by Sauron. This is important background because Celegorm, you will remember, had sworn a powerful oath not to let anyone have the Silmarils outside of Feanor's family on pain of death. That included Morgoth, but also Beren, and Finrod, who went with Beren. As it happens, Celegorm and his brother Curufin, those two were close, were guests of Finrod when Beren passed through seeking aid, and they sought to disrupt their plans and also take over Finrod's fortress of Nargothrond while he was away. Nefarious stuff. As a result, Beren and Finrod, low on numbers of supporters, were captured and imprisoned by Sauron. We don't hear about Huan during all this, but he will have understood what was going on, but remained loyal. Enter Luthien, who is far, far from a shy and retiring maiden in this story, as is only reasonable. She was a very powerful individual. She escaped from her father and went searching for her love, Beren, and was found by Huan, who brought her to Celegorm and Curufin. They imprisoned her, basically. Decided to let Beren and Finrod die in Sauron's captivity, tried to force her to marry Celegorm and other such underhanded things. At which point Huan's loyalty to his master was overtaken by his great spirit. We read this. But Huan the Hound was true of heart, and the love of Luthien had fallen upon him in the first hour of their meeting, and he grieved at her captivity. Therefore he came often to her chamber, and at night he lay before her door, for he felt that evil had come to Nargothrond. Luthien spoke often to Huan in her loneliness, telling of Beren, who was the friend of all birds and beasts that did not serve Morgoth, and Huan understood all that was said, for he comprehended the speech of all things with voice, but it was permitted to him thrice only ere his death to speak with words. Now Huan devised a plan for the aid of Luthien, and coming at a time of night, he brought her cloak, and for the first time he spoke, giving her counsel. Then he led her by secret ways out of Nargothrond, and they fled north together, and he humbled his pride and suffered her to ride upon him in the fashion of a steed, even as the orcs did at times upon great wolves. Thus they made great speed, for Huan was swift and tireless. Huan sped Luthien to the tower where Sauron held Beren and Finrod captive. Sadly, they were too late to save Finrod, and Sauron threw all his forces at Huan and Luthien to try to keep them out. Therefore, we read, he sent a wolf to the bridge, but Huan slew it silently. Still Sauron sent others, one by one, and one by one Huan took them by the throat and slew them. Then Sauron sent Throgluin, a dread beast, old in evil, lord and sire of the werewolves of Angband. His might was great, and the battle of Huan and Throgluin was long and fierce. Yet at length Throgluin escaped, and fleeing back into the tower, he died before Sauron's feet. And as he died, he told his master, Huan is there. Now Sauron knew well, as did all in that land, the fate that was decreed for the Hound of Valinor, and it came into his thought that he himself would accomplish it. Therefore he took upon himself the form of a werewolf, and made himself the mightiest that had yet walked the world, and he came forth to win the passage of the bridge. Let's pause for a moment before we get on to that battle, to acknowledge that although we have only just been introduced to Huan, his fame in Middle-earth was clearly impressive. Throgluin just had to tell Sauron, Huan is here, for him to understand, and know the fate decreed for Huan, to be slain only by the greatest wolf that ever lived. It's also worth here noting that Sauron's first thought in response to that is to assume that all he had to do was turn himself into a werewolf, and he would obviously be the greatest wolf that ever lived, and be able to kill Huan. Sauron wasn't short on ego. But still, we read on. No wizardry nor spell, neither fang nor venom, nor devil's art nor beast's strength could overthrow Huan of Valinor. And he took his foe by the throat and pinned him down. Then Sauron shifted shape from wolf to serpent and from monster to his own accustomed form. But he could not elude the grip of Huan without forsaking his body utterly. Then Sauron yielded himself, and Luthien took the mastery of the isle and all that was there, and Huan released him. So Huan defeated Sauron, a full-strength Sauron who was shifting shapes to try to gain the upper hand. Huan was powerful, and Huan and Luthien went into the tower and found Beren and released him. But Huan was loyal, and his loyalty meant that he returned to Celegorm once more, despite what had happened. That didn't last long, though. Celegorm and Curufin, with Huan in tow, came across Beren and Luthien later in the woods and attacked them out of anger. Huan, forced to choose once more, chose Beren and Luthien, defending them and abandoning Celegorm's service for good. Again, His actions in this combat are impressive, standing in the way of danger, catching an arrow in flight to save Luthien, racing off afterwards to find a herb that could save Beren's life after he was injured. After that, he spoke for the second time, this time counselling Beren that Luthien loved him so much that her choice was already made, to forsake an immortal life for him. Yes, this is foreshadowing Aragorn and Arwen, and although Huan felt his own fate wasn't to go with them to retrieve that Silmaril from Morgoth's crown and Angband, if you'll remember that was the quest they were on before being waylaid by Celegorm and Curufin, he was ever practical, and used this second time he was able to speak to devise a cunning plan with some disguises to get them to the gates of Angband. After which Huan went off and hunted on his own for a bit. But we need to stick with Beren and Luthien for a short while to see just how much the fear of Huan had taken over the minds of the dark forces of Middle-earth. Beren and Luthien made it to the gates of Angband to discover this. Ever down the aisles of the forest was heard the baying of Huan, the great hound of war, whom long ago the Valar unleashed. Then Morgoth recalled the doom of Huan, and he chose one from among the whelps of the race of Drogluin, and he fed him with his own hand upon living flesh, and put his power upon him. Swiftly the wolf grew, until he could creep into no den, but lay huge and hungry before the feet of Morgoth. There the fire and anguish of hell entered into him, and he became filled with a devouring spirit, tormented, terrible, and strong. Karcharoth, the Red Maw, he is named in the tales of those days, and Angfauglir, the Jaws of Thirst. And Morgoth set him to lie unsleeping before the doors of Angband, lest Huan come. Even Morgoth, the greatest and most powerful evil in all Tolkien's legendarium, was wary of Huan. So much so that he personally bred a foe for him to place at his gates to stop Huan from entering. That's some reputation. Morgoth didn't have defences specifically against the Maiar in the land, or the most powerful elves, or any of the other mighty beings around then, but Huan's reputation demanded Morgoth guard his fortress against him personally. Now, you're probably ahead of me here, but yes, Karcharoth is the most powerful wolf ever in the land, and Huan's doom is close, but he has some more acts of heroism left in him yet. Beren and Luthien did manage to get a Silmaril, but on their way out, Karcharoth bit off Beren's hand, which had been holding the Silmaril, and ran screaming off into the wild. The Silmaril burned all unclean things, and Karcharoth was definitely unclean. The hosts of Morgoth, meanwhile, were closing on Beren and Luthien, and Beren was severely wounded, and all appeared in vain. But then the eagles arrived, and carried off Beren and Luthien to safety. Yes, this was a very Tolkien new catastrophe, unlooked for salvation out of the jaws of despair. But this wasn't just random eagle goodness, it was Huan's doing. We read that, among all birds and beasts, the wandering and need of Beren had been noised, and Huan himself had bidden all things watch, that they might bring him aid. Huan saved the day again, and of course joined the hunt for Karcharoth, which ended like this. Huan leaped from the thicket upon the back of the wolf, and they fell together fighting bitterly, and no battle of wolf and hound has been like to it, for in the baying of Huan was heard the voice of the horns of Orome, and the wrath of the Valar. But in the howls of Karcharoth was the hate of Morgoth, and malice crueler than teeth of steel, and the rocks were rent by their clamour, and fell from on high, and choked the falls of Eskelduin. There they fought to the death. Huan, in that hour, slew Karcharoth, but there in the woven woods of Doriath, his own doom, long spoken, was fulfilled, and he was wounded mortally, and the venom of Morgoth entered into him. Then he came, and falling beside Beren, spoke for the third time with words, and he bade Beren farewell before he died. Beren spoke not, but laid his hand upon the head of the hound, and so they parted. It's a suitably heroic way to die, and it meant that the Silmaril could be recovered, and Beren could marry Luthien against all odds, and Tolkien's great tale of love could reach its conclusion. Which is how perhaps some people view Huan, as a great side character in that great story. But I hope it's clear from this quick flick through his history that Huan was so much more than that. His fame reached far. He defeated a full-powered Sauron in single combat. Morgoth was so concerned Huan might come to him that he had his stronghold guarded by a wolf bred deliberately for years to stand against Huan. So, what was Huan? More than just a big dog, surely. Unfortunately, this is one of those times where Tolkien isn't 100% clear. Or to be more precise, he probably changed his mind a couple of times, because he did address the issue. In an essay written around the year 1959, so a few years after The Lord of the Rings was published, he said this: "True rational creatures, speaking peoples, are all of human or humanoid form. Only the Valar and Maiar are intelligences that can assume forms of ardour at will. Huan and Sorontar," that's one of the eagles, "could be Maiar, emissaries of Manwë." "Could be" is obviously quite vague, and in the same essay he also said that it must be assumed that talking is not necessarily the sign of the possession of a rational soul or fear. The same sort of thing may be said of Huan and the eagles. They were taught language by the Valar and raised to a higher level, but they still had no fear. So there he is suggesting that Huan and the great eagles, who he understandably brackets in the same way as talking animals, might actually instead be animals who had been given a level up by the Valar and taught to speak, so not Maiar. Though against that he put a side note to the whole essay, saying that as the Valar would robe themselves like the children, many of the Maiar robe themselves like other lesser living things, as trees, flowers, beasts, brackets, Huan. Implying that Huan was a Maiar. It's all rather confusing. I think on balance, I'm inclined to think that Huan was a Maiar. Immortal, powerful, but could be physically killed in certain conditions, which would place him alongside Sauron and Saruman and the Balrog and so on in terms of vague power level, which feels sort of right. But ultimately, does that matter? Tolkien clearly didn't think it was that important, or he would have been clearer on the subject. What was important was the interplay between Huan's loyalty and doing the right thing. Huan honoured his relationship to Celegorm, but ultimately chose to do the right thing, even if that meant turning his back on his master. He didn't just do as he was told, and assume he just had to stay on the same team whatever evil they got up to. He thought about things and exercised his moral judgment. Would that more humans and elves in that age and this did the same. Did you know that I'm uploading all my videos from this channel, sometimes as videos, sometimes as podcasts, to Apple and Spotify and wherever else you get your podcasts? If you'd find it easier to watch and listen there, just search for In Deep Geek. And leave a positive review if you like. It all helps. Thank you. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.